Have you ever felt pressure to go big? To have to do something that is huge and impressive? Something that gets loads of attention, hundreds of likes? Have you ever felt expectation? There's expectations on you to have to travel in a certain path, but you would rather go in another direction. I remember feeling some sort of pressure, expectations, when I was trying to plan a birthday party for my girl who was turning 9 at the time. You see, I foolishly thought I could organise a simple backyard party, but I made the mistake of looking up girls' backyard parties on Pinterest. Instant pressure. You see, when I grew up, one child won pass the parcel and everybody else just went home with a piece of cake wrapped in a napkin. These days, mothers, they hand weave gift baskets out of unicorn hair. The expectations around birthday parties are huge. Have you ever felt pressure and expectations? Maybe you've had to organise an event and it had to be really big. Maybe at work there is pressure on you to have to work lots of hours or meet certain targets. Maybe you're a student and you feel the pressure to have to do well every single time. Maybe in your retirement, your friends and family have expectations on how you will spend your time and money, but you have other ideas. What about our spiritual life? Do you feel some sort of pressure on you that your spiritual life needs to be big and impressive? Well, if you know any of that kind of pressure, you know how hard it is to live with. And we may understand some of the pressure that was on Jesus. You see, there were pressure and expectations on Jesus. In Jesus' time, there was an expectation that when the Messiah showed up, the Messiah would be involved in freeing the people from the rule of the Romans. You see, the Jews, they lived in the land that God had promised them, and they were able to worship at the temple, but they weren't a free people. They were being oppressed by the Romans. And amongst some of them, there was this expectation that when the Messiah came, that he would just free the people. And so when Jesus shows up and he starts teaching and he starts healing and he has crowds following him, the expectation around Jesus is building, go big. And if we were reading through the book of Matthew, that's one of the books in the Bible about the life of Jesus, we would see this pressure building. At one point, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, sends Jesus a message. Are you the Messiah? Because you're not acting like it. And Jesus has these conversations with the religious leaders. They were called the Pharisees. And the religious leaders are putting pressure on Jesus. They say to him, go big, give us a sign. Show us a miracle, then we'll believe in you. But Jesus is resisting the pressure. He is the Messiah, and he will bring the kingdom. But he's going to do it his way and in his time. And so when we get to Matthew chapter 13, we see Jesus teaching in parables. And I think one of the things that Jesus is doing by using these short stories about the kingdom of heaven is trying to explain what he's doing. He's trying to help people understand why their expectations are wrong and why he's not meeting them. And this morning we're going to think about just one of those very short parables. It's called the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. And I hope by thinking through this parable this morning, we won't just get a better idea of who Jesus is and what he was doing, but I hope we relieve some of that pressure that we might have on ourselves around our faith sharing, our spiritual lives. So in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man takes and plants in a field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, it grows to the largest garden plant and becomes a tree so that the birds come and nest in its branches. It's a really simple story, but I think it contains a couple of surprises for us and for the people who were listening to Jesus. For us, I think one of the surprises is around the size of the tree. If you're like me, you might like to imagine stories as you hear them. And what I imagine is this tree with a huge trunk that's really tall and very big branches. And I know that I'm not alone in imagining this, because when I Googled the parable of the mustard seed, this is what you see. You see picture after picture after picture of just large trees in a field. You see, I think that's what many of us imagine. Now, I'm not a botanist, but I don't think this kind of tree is a mustard tree. You see, the people listening to Jesus, they would have had a different picture, because they know what a mustard bush looks like because it grew in the wild. They would have walked past them as they walked from village to village. You see, a mustard bush, it looks more like this. It's a shrub. So I'm 5'2", maybe 3, and a mustard bush is about my height. It can grow a bit taller in good conditions, but it's really just a hot mess of a plant. In fact, I think I have a little bit more in common with it than just my height. Some days I feel like that mustard bush. You see, it's just not that impressive. And if Jesus wanted to choose an impressive plant, he had plenty of options. He could have chosen a cedar tree, or a fig tree, or an olive tree. Like any tree would be more impressive than this wild bush. And so when I first started thinking through this parable of the mustard seed, I had to wrestle with this. Why did Jesus choose the mustard bush? Because he could have chosen anything. And I thought, is Jesus trying to deal with the pressure on him by lowering expectations? Hey, everybody, the kingdom of heaven, you wouldn't even think about it if you walked past it in the wild. Is that what he's doing? Can everybody calm down? The kingdom of heaven, it's actually underwhelming. I don't think that's what he's trying to do. So I had to wrestle with this then. Like, why choose the mustard bush? And I think the key to understanding what Jesus is saying comes from the fact that the mustard bush is not a tree. It's never a tree. The mustard bush is a herb. And this changes everything. And I'd like to give a little bit of credit to the King James Version here. In their translation of what Jesus says, they actually say that the kingdom of heaven, it is it's like the mustard seed that grows to become the largest garden herb. The Greek word there, it can actually be translated plant or herb, and I think herb is the better translation, and this is the reason. You see, the mustard bush as a tree, whatever. But the mustard bush as a herb, well, now we're talking. Because we're not comparing it to cedar trees, we are comparing it to chives. And compared to chives, a mustard bush is ginormous. I mean, think about it. You're walking through your veggie patch. So you've got to bend down for your chives and your garlic and your rosemary. But then, bam, like you've got to look up for mustard bush. Your mustard bush is going to outgrow and overgrow everything in that garden. And the people listening to Jesus, they know this. They know that if you have a mustard bush growing in your veggie patch, you better want it there. Because it is going to be the last plant remaining. It is going to dominate. It is going to take out everything else in that garden. And this is the picture Jesus paints of the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a large tree in a field. It is the only tree. It is the last plant remaining. But you see, that might surprise us if we are unfamiliar with the mustard bush. But it wouldn't have surprised the people listening to Jesus. Because, number one, they knew that a mustard bush would dominate. But they also were expecting that the kingdom would dominate, that when it came, it would be the last kingdom remaining. So what's surprising for them is that Jesus doesn't finish the parable by saying the kingdom of heaven will eventually be like a mustard bush. It's that he keeps talking. He says that it becomes a tree so that the birds come and nest in its branches. See, the mustard bush in Jesus' parable, it grows way bigger than it has any right to grow. And the purpose of this growth is so that the birds will come and nest in its branches. And once again, if we're thinking, well, trees and birds, that makes total sense. There's nothing surprising about that. We're not thinking trees and birds. What are we thinking? Herbs and birds. Nobody wants birds in the veggie patch, do we? Has anybody bought a birdhouse with the rosemary? We don't. What do we build in our gardens to keep the birds away? Scarecrows. It's because we don't want the birds there. Get out of here. You're not wanted. But Jesus is saying in his garden, it is there so that the birds will come and make a home, so that they will nest. This is a good thing. It is the purpose of bringing this kingdom. And this is good news because it means that Jesus' kingdom is going to be big enough for everybody. I don't actually think Jesus is trying to lower expectations. I think he's trying to raise their expectations about the kingdom. It's like, you want a big kingdom? Oh, it's going to be big. But it's going to be so big that everybody is welcome in it. Everybody can find a home in the kingdom. You see, the people listening to Jesus, they had sort of expectations about who was in and out. I mean, the Romans, oh, they are out. We have to get rid of the Gentiles from the land. But even amongst the Jewish people, there was this expectation that some people were more righteous, closer to God, and then there are others who just wouldn't make it, too sinful, the outcasts. But Jesus is doing away with those boundaries. There's no boundaries here. Everybody can come in. And this is good news. Especially if you've never felt like you have a home, never felt like you belong anywhere. Jesus is saying that his kingdom is for everyone. Everyone can come in and belong and have this relationship with Jesus and with God. And maybe you've never heard that or accepted Jesus' invitation to come and have life with him. If you've just sort of been hanging around church, life group, wondering what this is all about, you've been watching this shrub sort of grow up, can I suggest that you make today the day that you accept Jesus' invitation to come and nest in the branches of the kingdom? You can pray with me at the end of the service. I'm sure you can pray with Pastor Dylan. We'd love to help you understand what it means to come and put your trust in Jesus. Because it wasn't the Romans that was stopping the kingdom from growing. It was sin and death. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he beat sin and death, and he really has opened the way for everybody to come into a relationship with Jesus. So I think when Jesus tells this parable, one of the things that he's doing is trying to raise people's expectations about how big and beautiful the kingdom actually is. But I don't think that's his main point, because Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard bush. What does he say? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And I think this is probably the main point of the parable. You see, people were expecting that when the kingdom came, it would sort of come at once. You know, we read that scripture from Isaiah, and it kind of sounds like when God comes and comes to Jerusalem, it's just going to happen at once. It's going to be this big event. And so it doesn't kind of make a lot of sense that Jesus isn't hanging around in Jerusalem, that he's not sort of massing together armies. He's just walking around the countryside with the mustard bush. Like, what is he doing? And so I think Jesus is trying to help them understand that the kingdom, it will be big and beautiful when it comes, but it's going to start small. And so Jesus commits himself to this mustard seed mission. He's walking around from village to village, just looking for the one. It's why Jesus would be willing to stop for the blind man who calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It's why Jesus would agree to go and heal a 12-year-old girl and on the way stop to hear the story of a woman who's had a period for 12 years. It's why Jesus would go to Zacchaeus, who's up a tree, an actual tree, and say, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to eat with you tonight, Zacchaeus." It's because Jesus loves the one. He's looking for the one. He's changing one life at a time. And he knows as he does this that his kingdom will grow. Because people are going to come into the kingdom, but then they're going to join in. They're going to get involved in spreading that seed. They're going to become mustard seed missionaries. And I think if Jesus was content with being a mustard seed missionary, then we can be too. We can be people who are looking for little things that we can do to show others that we love them, looking for those little opportunities to speak about Jesus when they come along. I think sometimes we just put so much pressure on ourselves that everything we need to do needs to be big and impressive, that every time we go to share our faith, we have to get through an entire gospel outline. I just don't know that we need to put that kind of pressure on ourselves. I think if Jesus was content with a mustard seed mission, then we can be too. Because to be honest, if everything we did had to be big and impressive, I just don't know that many of us would qualify. But when Jesus talks about ministry in terms of sowing seeds, I think it's a gift to us. It's like, go sow a seed, even the tiniest seed. Because tiny seeds, they are everyday things. Every day we have an opportunity to sow tiny seeds. It's getting to know a neighbour. It's saying hi to somebody new at church. It's helping your elderly parents or coming alongside and supporting somebody with young children. It's listening to people share their stories. It's getting involved in people's lives, and as we get involved in people's lives, we pray for opportunities to be able to sow a seed in conversation about what it means to follow Jesus, for them to get to know Jesus. You know, these small things, they're not that impressive. You may not even remember that you've done them. But in Jesus' kingdom, small things grow way bigger than they have any right to grow. And I bet that all of you can think of something small that somebody has done for you that really had a big impact on your life. And that person probably doesn't even realize that they did that. Yeah? The training that I mentioned before, the Plan A training, it really is just mustard seed living. It's just thinking through areas of our life and how we can be intentional in small things. That Plan A training, it's freely available. If you would like to do it, then you can ask Pastor Dylan how you can download it from the internet. But it's available through the Crossover website. So that may be something you might be interested in exploring further. But I am convinced that this is how Jesus wants us to participate with him in his mission, being intentional about small things and praying for them to grow. You know, very often we don't get to see things grow, but occasionally we do. A little while ago, I was teaching Year 1 Scripture. So that's children who are about 6 or 7. My time in the classroom, a little chaotic. And I was wondering if my half an hour there every week was making any difference. Until one lesson when a 7-year-old boy grabbed me at the end of the lesson and said, "Hey, miss." He said, "My uncle said that Jesus isn't real. He's just made up. Is there any evidence that Jesus rose from the dead?" And I found myself having a conversation with a 7-year-old boy about evidence for the resurrection so he could take that home to his family. And I realized that's the kingdom growing right there, isn't it? The gospel in the hands of a 7-year-old boy. You don't need to be big. You don't need to be impressive. You just need to get involved. Do what you can with the people in your lives. Because that's how Jesus' kingdom grows. It does bring me to the last point of this parable. Because Jesus doesn't actually just say the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man takes and plants in a field. The only thing that is going to stop this mustard seed from growing is if I keep it in my hand. You see, this mustard seed, it grows like a weed in the Middle East. It doesn't need an awful lot of care. It's just got to hit the dirt. But sometimes I think out of fear, exhaustion, guilt, doubt, we don't plant those seeds. We hold onto them. But Jesus is saying that those seeds, they need to be planted. Let them hit the dirt. Make the most of the opportunities that you have to get involved in people's lives, to come alongside them and speak. And then pray Pray for them to grow like a wild mustard bush. It is a privilege and a joy to be involved in Jesus' mission, and I think if we're intentional about small things, we'll see the kingdom grow. Let me pray for you. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you that you care about the one, that each life is important to you. We saw that in your ministry, in your time on earth, and we've seen it through the ages. Thank you for the way that you have touched each of us and changed our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to grow, but that part of our growth would be in our sharing of our faith with others. Help us to see those small moments in life where we can share your love, where we can speak about you, and help us to be brave in sowing those seeds. And Lord, help us to do it knowing that very often we don't get to see seeds grow. But I do pray that there would be people that we see grow in their own faith, that we would see this church grow and our growth groups grow as more people hear about the love of Jesus. Lord, we know you love us. We love you, and we thank you for your work in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.